This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Friday, August 3rd, 2018. Coming up this hour,
Wall Street awaits the July payroll report with forecasts calling for strong gains.
The White House warns of more pain ahead for China on trade.
The pound weakens as Mark Carney jumps back into the Brexit debate.
And Italian bonds slump for the third day with 10-year yields breaking above 3%.
Prosecutors say Paul Manafort submitted phony bank statements to secure bank loans and was in debt. I'm Michael Barr. More on President Trump's former campaign chairman straight ahead.
I'm Rob Bushka. Coming up in sports, both the Yankees and Mets are doubled up, and the NFL is officially back.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by USCF. Invest in what's real. Visit USCFinvestments.com. That's USCFinvestments.com.
U.S. futures are little change this morning, while European equities are gaining on this final trading day of the week. 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Again, S&P futures, little change. Dow futures down 3. NASDAQ futures up 5. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. So is the FTSE 100. CAC in Paris up 0.3%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained less than 0.1%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 2.97%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.65%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.1%, or 6 cents, to $68.90 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.33%, on $4.40, to $12.1570 an ounce. The euro, $1.1576, and the yen, 111.69. Nathan.
Karen, today's focus is on the labor market with the monthly U.S. employment report due out this morning. Bloomberg Economics chief U.S. economist Carl Riccadonna projects a gain of 220,000 jobs in July.
The economy is indeed picking up momentum, and that's happening in a low labor cost environment. So if you have a lack of wage pressures and the economy is growing faster, that should augur for a stronger payroll gain. And so we're looking for something north of 200,000. I think we're going to see a strong result. Still very gradual labor cost increases, but nonetheless, that payroll gain will get folks' attention.
Carl Riccadonna says analysts will also look at today's jobs report for potential early warning signs of headwinds related to trade war concerns.
Meanwhile, the Trump administration continues its tough talk on trade with China. Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie reports from Beijing.
Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross has further ratcheted up the trade rhetoric, saying the U.S. will keep up the pressure on China for as long as the country refuses to level the economic playing field. Ross told Fox News the Trump administration wants to force China to drop their, quote, bad practices and reform.
We have to create a situation where it's more painful for them to continue their bad practices than it is to reform them. That's the purpose of the whole exercise.
It comes after the U.S. said it was considering increasing proposed tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese goods from 10% to 25%. China has warned the U.S. against what it calls blackmail, saying it will hit back against any escalation from Washington. In Beijing, Tom McKenzie, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Tom, thanks. It was yet another down day for China's stock market and its currency. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has details from our Singapore bureau. Juliet.
Nathan and Karen, sellers continue to encroach on Chinese markets while the yuan headed for an eighth weekly decline, the longest run since the start of the country's modern foreign exchange rate regime began in 1994, as we continue to see these trade woes intensify. The yuan has depreciated 6.7% over the past 2 months against the dollar and is near the lowest on record against a trade-weighted basket of currencies. Meanwhile, China's equity market, one of the worst performing globally this year, lost its place as the world's second biggest to Japan. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. In Turkey, inflation quickened less than expected last month. Consumer inflation rose to 15.9%, less than the median estimate of 16.3%. That appears to have stemmed the Turkish lira slide, though it's still trading above a five handle.
In Italy, bonds are slumping for the third day, with 10-year yields breaking above 3% for the first time in nearly 2 months. The move follows a report that the country's populist leaders and finance minister meet this morning to discuss the budget.
The pound weakened below $1.30 today after Bank of England Governor Mark Carney jumped back into the Brexit debate. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with more. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Karen. In a BBC radio interview today, Carney said the possibility of Britain leaving the European Union without a deal is uncomfortably high at the moment. He also said the party should do all things to avoid it. In a separate interview with Bloomberg, the BOE governor said stress tests show the financial system should be ready for the worst case.
It's our responsibility to anticipate a very bad version of that cliff-edge, disorderly Brexit.
Carney's Brexit comments suggest he's growing increasingly worried the government is running out of time to hammer out an agreement. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, John. Meanwhile, the UK's services sector grew at a slower pace than forecast in July. IHS Markit's Purchasing Managers Index slid to a three-month low of 53.5 last month. The survey suggests expansion in the UK may be hitting a soft patch.
Turning to earnings now, Royal Bank of Scotland reported second quarter income that beat analyst estimates. It also announced plans to resume dividends. Still, Chief Financial Officer Ewan Stevenson said RBS is putting any plans for share buybacks on hold due to uncertainty around Brexit.
We are being cautious at the moment. You'll see today in our results, our liquidity ratios are very strong. I think we'll continue to keep our capital ratios strong. And we are cautious on the outlook for credit in some sectors.
Shares of RBS are up more than 2% this morning.
Kraft Heinz is among nine companies in the S&P 500 reporting earnings today. A preview from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
A dip in net sales and a narrowing operating margin likely offset the benefits of a lower effective tax rate, and Bloomberg Intelligence says per-share earnings at Kraft Heinz may have declined about 5%. The company also had to deal with higher freight and distribution costs, and it boosted spending in support of marketing initiatives and new products. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Jeff, thank you. And shares of Sonos gaining this morning. The wireless speaker maker stock climbed 32% after its IPO yesterday. It's up another 9.5% in early trading. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:07 is the time on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr and find out what's going on in the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Trump told a rally in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania last night that the media refuses to give him credit for a long list of accomplishments.
In Helsinki, I had a great meeting with Putin. We discussed everything. I had a great meeting. We got along really well. By the way, that's a good thing, not a bad thing. That's a really good thing. Now, we're being hindered by the Russian hoax. It's a hoax, okay?
Top administration officials say Russia interfered in the 2016 election, and they're trying to do it again. National Intelligence Director Dan Coats.
We acknowledge the threat. It is real. It is continuing. And we're doing everything we can to have a legitimate election that the American people can have trust in.
The tax and bank fraud trial of President Trump's former campaign chairman heads into its fourth day today. Yesterday, prosecutors presented their case that Paul Manafort was deeply in debt and submitted altered financial statements to secure bank loans. Manafort's bookkeeper testified that Manafort and his longtime deputy Rick Gates gave phony profit and loss statements to banks in 2016 that overstated their firm's income. Tennessee voters decided that former state Democratic Governor Phil Bredesen and Republican Representative Marsha Blackburn will advance to the fall election for the U.S. Senate seat. Meanwhile, a former pro wrestler is the mayor of Tennessee's third largest county. Glenn Jacobs, who was Kane in the ring, won mayor of Knox County last night. UK Prime Minister Theresa May will meet with French President Emmanuel Macron today as she charts a path to a Brexit deal. Bloomberg's Caroline Conan is in Paris.
The pair will meet at the Fort de Brégançon, the summer residence of French presidents on the French Riviera between Marseille and Nice. A relaxing atmosphere to discuss tough subjects. Theresa May will ask Emmanuel Macron to support her blueprint for Brexit, including a new trade deal already rejected by the EU last week. But expectations shouldn't be too high, as Michel Barnier remains the main negotiator on behalf of the EU Commission. In Paris, Caroline Conan, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts. in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Nathan. Let's hope the rest of the weekend in Boston doesn't turn out like Thursday, as Steve Pierce single-handedly nearly did in the Yankees as Boston routed New York 15-7 thanks to three home runs by the newly acquired infielder. Yankees Brett Gardner says this game can't define the four-game set.
Well, I mean, something like this is a little tough to just forget about. But, you know, like I said, one loss is one loss. It doesn't matter if it's 5-4 or 2-1 or 20-3. So, I mean, you know, it's a tough game, and it's a tough game to be a part of. But, you know, we just got to that's the beautiful thing about baseball. We don't have to wait a week to redeem ourselves. We get to come out here tomorrow afternoon and get back after it. So we plan on doing that.
Yankees fall 6.5 back of the Red Sox. Series continues tonight from Fenway. It's Luis Severino taking on Rick Porcello. The Mets were doubled up 4-2 by the Braves at Citi Field. It's the fourth straight win for Atlanta. Jason Vargas took the loss, dropping the starter to 2-7 with an ERA over 8. Mets fall to last place with the Marlins and try to right the ship tonight, sending Jacob DeGrom up against Anibal Sanchez. News from NFL camps. According to sources, Giants wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. says he and the team have talked about a new contract, and football's officially back as the Hall of Fame game kicked off another season with the Ravens edging the Bears 17-16 in Canton, Ohio. Ravens QB and Heisman Trophy winner Lamar Jackson threw for a touchdown, rushed for 25 yards, while RG3, who also won a Heisman, tossed another touchdown for the Ravens as well. Golf, round one, Bridgestone Invitational. Tiger shoots a 66. He's still four strokes back of leader Ian Poulter. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
Thanks, Rob, and want to invite you to join us tonight for the Bloomberg Business of Sports show. His Washington Capitals just won the Stanley Cup, and he also owns the Washington Wizards. We speak with monumental sports founder Ted Leonsis tonight at 8 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio, or download the Apple Podcast on iTunes. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, 6:17 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. Expect a hot labor market report today. Consensus is for 193,000 new jobs in July, but the Bloomberg Whisper number is above 200,000. And Wednesday's ADP figure showed companies added more workers than forecast. Sources tell Bloomberg the U.S. has failed to persuade China to cut oil imports from Iran. That deals a blow to President Trump's efforts to isolate the nation. But Beijing has agreed not to ramp up purchases of Iranian crude. Heineken will shell out $3.1 billion for 40% of China Resources beer. The move from Heineken is aimed at narrowing AB InBev's global lead in the industry. And assets in Turkey are getting some relief after headline inflation quickened less than expected in July. Still, the core rate exceeded consensus and producer prices soared 25%. For the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
Hannah, thank you. S&P futures are a little changed, up 1.5 points. Dow futures up 15. NASDAQ futures up 10. The DAX in Germany's up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 2.97%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.65%. NYMEX crude oil, little change, down less than 0.1% on 3 cents to $68.93 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.3% or $3.70 to $12.1640 an ounce. The euro, $1.1577. The British pound, $1.3003. And the yen, 111.71. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump told a rally in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania last night that the media refuses to give him credit for a long list of accomplishments, including his summits with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and Russia's Vladimir Putin. Trump also called the press the fake, disgusting news. The director of national intelligence, Dan Coates, says Russia is a keyboard click away from a major election hack. Coates says, though, Russian efforts to interfere in the midterm elections have yet to reach the intensity of 2016. In sports and baseball, the Yankees were spanked by the Red Sox 15-7.
The Mets lost along with the Orioles, the Nationals, and Giants won. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Michael, 6:20 is the time on Wall Street, which means we are 2 hours and 10 minutes away from the release of the July jobs report. 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. We're counting down to it. Carl Riccadonna, chief U.S. economist for Bloomberg Economics, joins us. And Carl, you heard along with us moments ago, the consensus is 193,000 new jobs added in July. You and your team are a bit more bullish than that, yeah?
We are indeed. We're at 220,000 on the headline number. That was our preliminary forecast coming out of the June report. All signs point to go for that. So we did not have to tweak that subsequently. We've seen strong business sentiment. The industrial surveys look good. The labor costs are muted. And so until workers get more expensive, we're going to be in 200,000 plus territory for the monthly jobs data.
So what's driving the optimism for manufacturers?
What's driving the optimism is this underlying acceleration in the economy. So part of it is the absence of negativism. So, that pertains to the fact that there's a lot of concern about fallout from a trade war escalation, but the actual evidence of that has been very limited to this point. So that's not to say that if the trade war really escalates, there won't be negative consequences. But a lot of folks are finding their fears to be unfounded, at least given what has happened thus far. The other factor is actually an underlying improvement in the economy. Not as great as that 4.1% GDP number from Q2 would suggest, but the underlying trend is improving. This will be the strongest year for GDP growth of any year in the cycle. And so if you have faster growth with still basically flat labor costs, faster growth translates into faster hiring.
Now, in your note to investors, you write that the two major themes that you and your team are going to be looking for from the July jobs report are sustainability and vulnerability. Can you kind of unpack that a bit for us?
Exactly. So sustainability goes back to that notion of 4% plus GDP growth that we saw in the second quarter. It's been a politically charged debate as to whether that is indeed sustainable or at least due for a repeat in the back half of the year. My expectation is, yes, the economy is improving, but a four handle on GDP is going to be a tough act to follow in the second half for a couple of reasons. So there were some one-off factors as folks rushed product out ahead of potential trade wars. So we saw a dramatic surge in exports. We saw a collapse in inventory levels as they rushed product across the border before those tariff measures would be put in place. But in addition to that, we saw consumer spending growing at a very robust pace after a very disappointing first quarter of the year. And the fact of the matter is, just like Wile E. Coyote running off the cliff, consumer income creation is simply not there to sustain that fast pace of spending. So consumers will be an important driver in the back half of the year, but until we see stronger income growth, then that issue of sustainability, I think, is a moot point. We're going to see some moderation in the back half. On the point of vulnerability, the second theme, that's watching for potential fallout from trade war escalation. So I've kind of downplayed that thus far in the discussion. If we look at manufacturing employment over the last year, it's been the strongest since 1998. So the factory sector is enduring any headwinds from trade war escalation quite well, in fact. And so we'll continue to watch for any signs that maybe cracks are starting to form in the facade, but to this point, none. And more importantly than looking at that manufacturing number, we watch the job diffusion index, which measures the breadth of gains in the economy. So if you have a fast-growing economy, that may tend to mask some of or whitewash some of the problems that are emerging. The jobs diffusion index will be an early indication, a canary in the coal mine, if you will, of potential problems emerging, smoke, if you will, not necessarily fire, emerging from trade war issues.
All right. A lot to keep an eye on as that July jobs report comes out in just about 2 hours and 5 minutes or so. 8:30 Wall Street time is when we get that read on July unemployment from the Labor Department. Of course, we will have full coverage throughout the day here on Bloomberg Radio. Futures contracts pointing to a slightly higher open. S&P futures up by about a point right now. Dow futures up 13. NASDAQ futures up 9 points. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg Radio. Good morning. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty, developers of Prime New York, Hoboken, Philadelphia, and Delray Beach real estate, up to 20% return properties. See them at NRIA.net.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1061, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it is 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are little changed to higher ahead of the July jobs report. Economists forecast a gain of 193,000 jobs in July. Bloomberg's Vinnie Dalgiudice reports.
The economy has added more than 1 million jobs since the start of the year. The unemployment rate dipped as low as 3.8% back in May. With today's report, wage growth will be the key for bond traders keeping score on inflation. It's yet to reach the high seen earlier in the century. Treasury market reaction to the data of late tended to be fleeting. In May, average hourly earnings rose just 0.2% from a month earlier, 2.7% year over year. Vinnie Dalgiudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinnie, thank you. That report comes out 2 hours from now. We will break it down live with Jim Glassman from J.P. Morgan and MKM Holdings chief economist Michael Darda.
The pound is weaker after a BBC interview with Bank of England Governor Mark Carney. He calls the chance of the U.K. leaving the European Union without a deal uncomfortably high.
China's currency is heading for an eighth weekly decline. That's the longest run since the start of the country's modern foreign exchange rate regime in 1994.
Meanwhile, Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross signaled more pain ahead unless China changes its economic system. He spoke with Fox News.
The president now feels that it's potentially time to put more pressure on.
In response, China once again says it will never surrender to U.S. trade threats.
Royal Bank of Scotland shares are up 3%. The lender has laid out a plan to resume paying dividends a decade after its government bailout.
Toyota Motor reported first quarter profit that topped estimates. The Japanese carmaker was helped by expense reductions and rising sales in China. 6:32 on Wall Street. Time for the Volatility Index report. The VIX fell yesterday to close at 12.19. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is currently at 12.12. That is this morning's Volatility Report.
Thanks, Nathan. S&P futures are little changed, up a point. Dow futures up 12, NASDAQ futures up 7, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%, the CAC in Paris up 0.3%, and the FTSE 100 is up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury up 0.3, yield 2.97%, the yield on the 2-year 2.65%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.25% or 18 cents to $68.79 a barrel, and COMEX gold is down 0.33%, down $4.10 at $12.16 an ounce. The euro, $1.1574, the British pound, $1.2998, and the yen, 111.72. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street. Michael Barr has a read on what else is going on around the world, and Michael's here with us now. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. President Trump spoke to a packed rally in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania last night, campaigning for Republican candidates and discussing new health plans. Trump told supporters that he is slowly getting rid of the Affordable Care Act with better options.
The association health plans are giving us and allowing Americans to join forces to buy much better health care for a fraction of the cost, and you can go cross state lines and negotiate with everybody you want to negotiate with.
Trump also called the press the fake, disgusting news. Meanwhile, the White House continues to defend President Trump's labeling of the news media as the enemy of the people. Bloomberg's Martin DeCarroll reports.
When challenged by reporters to criticize the president's words, White House spokeswoman Sarah Sanders grew defiant, saying the media is to blame for making her unpopular.
As far as I know, I'm the first press secretary in the history of the United States that's required Secret Service protection. No, the media continues to ratchet up the verbal assault against the president.
Experts appointed by the UN Human Rights Council and the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights are condemning what they describe as strategic attacks on the press by the president. In Washington, Martin DeCaro, Bloomberg Radio.
Prosecutors in the bank and tax fraud trial of Paul Manafort say the former Trump campaign chairman submitted doctored statements to banks in order to get loans. Today, on day four of the trial, more testimony is expected from one of Manafort's former tax accountants. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says North Korea is far from living up to its pledge to denuclearize and remains in violation of numerous UN Security Council resolutions. Speaking today before he attends the Asian Security Forum with North Korea's foreign minister, Pompeo told reporters in Singapore there was still a ways to go before achieving the goal of ridding the North of its nuclear weapons. British Prime Minister Theresa May meets today with French President Emmanuel Macron as part of a diplomatic drive to win European leaders over to her Brexit vision. With just 11 weeks until a divorce accord is meant to be signed, May needs to chart a path to a deal. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. It was an unfamiliar hero for the Red Sox Thursday night as they crushed the Yankees 15-7 to open the four-game set at Fenway Park. Steve Pearce homered three times. Yankees actually led this game 4-1. Enter reliever Jonathan Holder, who allowed seven runs without recording an out, becoming just the second Yankee in history to accomplish that dubious feat. Skipper Aaron Boone.
Struggled, obviously, in that fourth inning. Holder, who's usually doesn't walk guys, loses the leadoff guy, and then it just got away from us there. And, unfortunately, we just couldn't stop the bleeding there in that fourth inning.
Yankees slip to 6.5 back of Boston and will turn to Luis Severino tonight as Boston counters with Rick Porcello. Yankees still lead the wild card, though, by six games. The Braves won their fourth in a row at the Mets' expense, 4-2 at Citi Field. Jason Vargas dropped to 2-7 for New York with an ERA north of 8. They'll look at Jacob deGrom tonight against Atlanta's Anibal Sanchez as its four-game series continues. Mets currently in last place with the Marlins 15 back of the front-running Phillies. NFL news, sources say Giants wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. and the team are working on a long-term contract. The annual Hall of Fame game ushered in the start of football in America on Thursday as Baltimore beat Chicago 17-16 behind a pair of touchdowns from a pair of Heisman Trophy winners. RG3 and Lamar Jackson each had a touchdown and an interception for the Ravens. In golf, Tiger shoots an opening round 66 at Bridgestone Invitational, yet four strokes back of Ian Poulter, who carded a 62 at the par 70. In Akron. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
Rob, thank you. It is now 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
The U.S. decision to level sanctions on Turkey's interior and justice ministers is the latest blow to relations with an important but troublesome ally. There's a risk in escalating the dispute, but the measure is justified. The Trump administration says it's punishment for Turkey's continuing detention of an American pastor on the baseless suspicion that he has supported groups hostile to the government. But Turkey's President Erdogan, who acquired vast new powers after the recent elections, has also been stomping on the rule of law by purging judges and civil servants and jailing journalists. He's waging war on U.S.-supported anti-regime rebels in Syria and collaborating with Iran and Russia in efforts to keep Bashar al-Assad in power. The narrow sanctions just imposed are the right approach for now. Erdogan needs to be told there's a price to pay for the course he's on. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. 6:38 on Wall Street, and there are signs of a personality clash between a Trump policy assistant and the labor secretary, and it could be affecting policy. Nancy Lyons reports from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
The friction is between Labor Secretary Alex Acosta and Trump policy assistant James Shirk.
Acosta is so legalistic and cautious that that is causing him to reject some of the proposals that Shirk and others at the White House would like to see.
Bloomberg Law's Ben Penn says Acosta is worker-focused, Shirk is pro-business.
It's causing some tension within the executive branch, and it's led to a holdup of some regulations that people at the White House would like to see and some stalled personnel appointments.
In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thanks, Nancy. It's 6:39 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report now with John Tucker. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Nathan. Small business vendors using Amazon, eBay, and other online marketplaces can expect significant burdens tracking dollar and transaction volumes in thousands of localities around the country. The accounting challenge, or curse if you prefer, follows the Supreme Court's June ruling that states can tax online sales of e-retailers despite lacking an in-state physical presence. Daniel Kidney, accountant and director of state and local tax at Clifton Larson Allen, says if a remote seller is not used to tracking its sales by locality and computing the correct total state and local tax rate, the requirement of suddenly having to do this in multiple states may be a steep burden for any seller. States have begun considering legislation to set up their own taxes on out-of-state e-retailers. Many also allow cities and counties to apply a sales tax on top of the statewide rate. The companies may need to either license expensive specialized software or hire third-party service providers. And that is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report. Nathan.
Thank you, John. Futures contracts little changed ahead of the jobs report at 8:30 Wall Street time. This is Daybreak. 6:41 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, we'll get the latest of what's happening in the nation's capital. So much going on in Washington. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter joins us next. This is Bloomberg.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is Jobs Day, and futures are little changed ahead of the July jobs report. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are quiet right now, with Dow futures up 6 points. S&Ps are a little changed, and Nasdaq futures are higher by 5. The U.S. 10 yield at 2.97%, and Asian markets were mixed overnight. European markets are posting gains this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front, those job numbers at 8:30, change in non-farm payrolls estimate 193,000. The unemployment rate estimate, 3.9%. At 9:45, U.S. services and composite PMIs. And at 10 o'clock, the ISM non-manufacturing composite. After the bell last night, Arista Networks beat estimates. And Symantec Q2 views missed estimates. Shares are down 10% in the pre-market. And regarding some of the earnings this morning, Dish Network beat estimates. And look for Kraft Heinz to report around 7 a.m. Wrapping things up, Motorola Solutions was cut to underweight at J.P. Morgan. State Street downgraded to market perform at KBW. Allergan was upgraded to buy at Mizuho. And Synchrony upgraded to neutral over at UBS. Live from the First Break and News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thanks, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Paul Manafort's bookkeeper testified that the former Trump campaign chairman approved every penny of the personal bills she paid for him. But he kept her in the dark about the foreign bank accounts he was using to buy millions in luxury items and pay personal expenses. Day 4 of Manafort's bank and tax fraud trial is today. A U.S. government scientist who has seen the contents of 55 boxes of remains turned over by North Korea says the remains are consistent with being Americans. He says the bones appear to have been preserved from the Korean War era, and military equipment provided is consistent with that used by U.S. forces. In sports and baseball, the Yankees were spanked by the Red Sox 15-7. The Mets, along with the Orioles, lost. The Nationals and Giants won. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, this summer Wall Street looks a lot more diverse. Interns at Bank of America, for example, had a class of 45% of women compared to 42% in 2017. The lender also says non-white interns make up 55%. Nathan Goldman and Wells Fargo report similar numbers.
Wow. Well, that's how you shed the old boy reputation on Wall Street, I guess. Hire younger and less boy.
That's right.
Aren't there you go.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right. Thank you, Michael. It is 6:50 on Wall Street now. Time to check what's going on in D.C. And some of the top stories in our nation's capital include the White House signaling more pain ahead for China when it comes to tariffs. Prosecutors in the Paul Manafort case saying the former Trump campaign chairman submitted phony bank statements to secure loans. And National Intelligence Director Dan Coats warning Russia is just a keyboard click away from a serious attack on the U.S. midterms. Let's bring in Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Kate, we've been hearing these comments that the Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross gave in an interview with the Fox Business Network, saying that they want to create conditions that will make it more painful for China to continue bad practices than to reform. And China is accusing the U.S. of blackmail. It seems like both sides are digging in here in the trade spat.
Definitely. I feel like this is sort of the next round of escalation that we've been seeing in this spat between China and the U.S. I think the most interesting part to me about Ross's comments was that if you kind of look at them and you parse them, he basically says the president was looking to put pressure on China to modify their behavior, but instead China's retaliated. So in response to that, the president wants to put even more pressure on China. I feel like it's one of these things where, you know, the kind of old adage is insanity is banging your head against a wall and repeatedly and expecting a different result. You know, I think that that's kind of the thing here is sort of the administration saying, we've taken this approach. It hasn't worked. But so now we're going to take the same approach again and see if it does work this time around.
Yeah. And that approach applies, I guess, as well to trying to persuade China to cut back on Iranian oil imports as the administration looks for ways to put pressure on Iran now that the U.S. is out of the nuclear deal. How's that working out?
Well, exactly. This setback, I think, kind of illustrates why there are some also potential downsides beyond just the trade sphere and having these tensions with China right now is that basically the U.S. needs China's help when it comes to Iran, or it would be useful to the U.S. to have China's help. And given the tensions that we're seeing on trade, I think it's not that surprising that China isn't willing to be as helpful as they might otherwise be when it comes to the question of sanctions on Iran.
Yeah, I guess the ongoing question is whether either side is getting any closer to the negotiating table with either of these moves.
Definitely. And I think that there's really not any signs, any concrete signs right now or signals that progress is happening behind the scenes. Sometimes what we've seen in the past is that, you know, there's kind of this heightened rhetoric, but that is kind of the public display that allows both sides to sort of go back and tell their base they talk tough, but behind the scenes we're seeing progress. There's no signs really that that's happening right now.
Yeah, let's move on now to the Manafort trial. Day four in the books, and it sounds like we're moving away from a discussion of ostrich skin coats to the actual books.
Yeah, I think that this is really what we kind of saw yesterday was getting into kind of the real meat of the prosecution's case. We heard from Manafort's former bookkeeper and who talked about how the bills were piling up and essentially that she was kind of kept in the dark as to where the money was coming from. And I thought the timing of this was particularly interesting in that it sounds like the real financial difficulty came to Manafort shortly before he joined the Trump campaign, which I thought was pretty interesting. We don't know exactly what that means at this point, but, you know, Trump, at least politically, has made a big deal out of the idea that Manafort, what he was alleged to have done occurred largely, you know, in the kind of 2010 to 2014 timeframe, prior to the 2016 campaign or well before the 2016 campaign. But it sounds like at least in this bank and tax fraud part of it, some of the bills were really coming due then in 2016. So that's kind of interesting to note and see where that goes.
And we'll see where it goes as the new week dawns upon us here in over in Washington. Meantime, the White House now making the case that it is working to bolster election security. Pretty extraordinary comments from the White House podium from the DNI, Dan Coats.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that, you know, it's important to remember that Dan Coats, you know, prior to Trump's meeting with Putin in Helsinki last month, testified before Congress using quite similar language, basically saying that, you know, the red lights were flashing, that Russia was looking to try to do another hack on the scale of what they did or interfere on the scale of what they did in 2016. Then Trump went to Helsinki and basically said, you know, kind of equivocated about whether or not he believed Coates believed what Putin had to say. And now we have Coates coming back and making, you know, even stronger of a statement about the risks of Russian election meddling. I think it's interesting to see, you know, what, if anything, Trump has to say about that going forward.
Now, with less than 100 days to go till the midterms. Thanks, as always, Kate. That's Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. And you can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And a reminder to follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington. Tune in Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. It is now 6:55 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Ramesh Panuru, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. For roughly four decades, America's healthcare debate has usually pit liberals who want increased government involvement against conservatives who warn that it would disrupt people's existing coverage. Over the last 2 years, we departed from that pattern. It was Republicans who were proposing major changes and Democrats who warned against them. Now we're reverting to the norm. Republicans have mostly given up on replacing Obamacare. Democrats are pushing single-payer plans. Republicans are looking forward to debating single-payer. It would be much more disruptive than Obamacare. So Republicans can go back to exploiting the public's fear of politically imposed change rather than having that fear used against them. But if Republicans adopt that reactive posture, it will mean that the only solutions on offer to popular concerns about health care will be left-wing ones. Over time, we'll move toward a health care system with a larger and larger degree of governmental control. Even if Republicans make political gains in the process, that's bad news for conservatives. I'm Ramesh Panuru. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. It's time now for the Bloomberg Green Report with Patrice Sikora.
The first commercial-scale wind farm off the U.S. coast will save electricity users in Massachusetts about $1.4 billion over 20 years. Vineyard Wind, south of Martha's Vineyard, is expected to provide power and renewable credits at a rate about 18% cheaper than other alternatives. It's also lower than the wind industry as a whole, and supporters say it shows that offshore wind can be a competitive source of clean energy as costs continue to come down. Analysts at Bloomberg New Energy Finance say the numbers will probably make a lot of other coastal states sit up and pay attention. Construction is expected to begin next year, with the project in operation by 2021. Developers say it should reduce the state's carbon emissions by more than 1.6 million tons a year, the equivalent of removing 325,000 cars from the road. Massachusetts has set a goal of installing enough offshore wind installations to power about a million homes by 2027. New York, New Jersey, and Maryland are also targeting added wind power by 2030. That's a Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Patrice Sikora.
All right, Patrice, thank you. S&P futures, little change this morning ahead of the July jobs report. S&P futures up a point, Dow futures up 12, NASDAQ futures up 6. The 10-year Treasury up 3/32, the yield 2.97%. NYMEX crude oil, little change, down 5 cents to $68.91 a barrel. And the euro at $1.1577. Bloomberg Surveillance with Jonathan Farrow and Lisa Abramowitz coming up on Bloomberg Radio for our listeners in Washington, D.C. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.